Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, June 30th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the future class of gaming, a.k.a. leftover Poppy Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Happy birthday, Tim Geddes.
Happy birthday, Tim Geddes. How did you feel? Tim gets all the fanfare in the morning meeting, and then they're also like, and also happy birthday blessing, Sunday.
Yeah, you know, it's the hazard of having a birthday on the weekend.
Yeah, it happens to everybody.
And also it's the hazard of, you know, having a birthday next to Tim Geddes.
I guess, yeah. Because they're making a big deal. There's a big old birthday stream for Tim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like you, nothing.
And what do I get?
Nothing.
A barbecue 2 days later.
But not, I mean, that's for the birthday of America. You know what I mean?
Are you sure?
I think so.
Wait, yeah. Well, those weren't all for me growing up?
No.
What about the fireworks?
Well, all growing up. A lot of those going on at the pig farm in Nigeria. A lot of 4th of July celebrations.
I lived in Nigeria for 2 years.
Hey, I'm just saying.
It was in Illinois.
All right, listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your birthday plans? Do you do anything? What birthday is it?
29th. I'm turning 29.
Oh, man. 30's on the horizon,
old
man.
Don't say that. Huh? Don't say that. I'm going bowling on Saturday with some homies. Yeah, okay. We're going to go get dinner afterwards. And then I think we might do some karaoke.
That's great.
Yeah.
What are you gonna go? What's the go-to karaoke song for Blessing Adeoye Jr.?
I don't have a good singing voice, and so
what?
I tend to roll with rap music. You know, I love a good rap verse.
Cool. So you can speak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm spitting, right? I'm not singing. Yeah. And so I'm usually going like maybe a Lupe song. It used to be Kanye, but then Kanye said a lot of bad things, and so now I don't really do Kanye anymore.
Sure.
But Lupe Fiasco, Kick Push is a pretty fun one, or Superstar, or Show Goes On, because I'm a big Lupe fan. Maybe do some Nelly.
Oh yeah. Hot in here.
Yeah. I feel like the Nelly has like a lot of fun ones. If I'm feeling risky, like if I've had enough drinks and I'm like, maybe I'll give the singing thing a shot, yeah. But I'm not like confident to sing all the way, I'll do some Drake.
Because
has sort of the rappy, singy delivery, sure. Where it's kind of an in-between of both. And so I feel like I can get away with that. And also usually for Drake, people are singing along. And so, yeah, you know, it's like more of a group affair than just me up there doing a ballad.
I appreciate that.
What about you? Do you do karaoke?
Oh, yeah.
What's your go-to song?
Edwin McCain, I'll Be.
Oh.
You know it?
No.
You would if it... Well, yeah. This. I'll be your crying shoulder. I'll be love suicide.
I got nothing.
It's a crowd pleaser. There's if when we went to SummerSlam in Nashville, there's a video of me doing it, and the crowd's into it. They're into it. You know what I mean?
You know, yesterday, Janet Garcia, speaking of music, brought up the idea that a lot of music nowadays has samples from songs from when me and Janet were younger. So like we're recognizing samples more immediately in a lot of songs nowadays. And she asked you, did that happen to you 90 years ago when you were our age? Did that happen? Yeah. A new album came out last night from this artist, Lil Uzi Vert. Do you know Lil Uzi?
Only I heard of Lil Uzi.
Yeah.
If you brought in 4 Lil Uzi songs and I listened to them, I wouldn't be able to tell you which one. Yeah. You know.
You might know the song. Like he does the song, I just want to rock, rock, rock. Oh, it's hot on TikTok.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, I would have thought it hasn't got to my algorithm, I guess, yet.
But anyway, he released an album last night, and I started listening to the album, and I kid you not, like 3 songs in, I'm like, how many samples am I going to recognize? And
yeah.
He has a song that, like, is barely even a sample. It's more of a cover of, what's the song that's like, wake up.
Oh, yeah, Chop Suey.
Chop Suey, yeah. He has a song that's basically a cover. It's not even a sample at this point.
I love that.
Honestly, it rocks.
But that's the thing is, like, so many people don't even know what Chop Suey is. You know, they don't know Chop Suey. Music's a weird thing. Where I saw, maybe it was, I forget if it was an actual mutual or if it was just somebody else in Twitter yesterday, but talking to some 13-year-old goth kid, and they were like, so what do you listen to? And they're like, oh, it's a band you probably don't even know called The Cure. It's like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of timelessness is there, but then there's little stuff like that where, what was the other one? It went around my algorithm on TikTok of somebody who didn't recognize Limp Bizkit. Yeah. The host mentioned, I mean, I've been Ryan Satin from wrestling stuff, and he was talking about Limp Bizkit, and they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, Fred Durst, I have no idea what you're, and it's like, outrageous.
I do remember being, I was in high school, and I was hanging out with my older sister and some of her friends, and somebody brought up Limp Bizkit, and also, because I had, at the time, I was probably like a freshman in high school, I had no idea what Limp Bizkit was.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm like, Limp Bizkit? Like, it was the most weird combination of words I'd ever heard in my life. And, like, one of them looked at me, and they were like, this guy is so confused by hearing about Limp Bizkit, and they made fun of me for that. But, yeah, I can understand. Like, yeah, somebody who is younger not knowing what that is thinking.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, totally. I get it. It's just one of those, like, you know, there's that institutional knowledge you think everybody has.
Yeah.
And you realize, of course, oh, no, you were raised listening to something completely different. You know, my example is always when I went to Mizzou for college, right? You know, I came from the suburbs of Chicago, went down to Missouri, and obviously that brought all types of folks to Columbia, Missouri. And one of my best friends is Frank Turner, who came from Paris, Missouri, which is literally a one stoplight town with one ATM town. Like, is that?
That's like, it's the same as Paris, Illinois.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I'll never forget him giving me a ride to Tiger Talk, which were the radio show where the, you know, football and basketball coach go and talk. He would pick me up and drive me, and he would put on country, and he would be blown away as he'd go through, like, Conway Twitty song, you know, Merle Haggard. He's like, you don't know this song? You don't know this? I'm like, I've never listened to country outside of 90s country when we were making fun of it. I have no idea what any of this is.
Gotcha. I feel that. Yeah. For me, you know, I'm the same thing. I'm the same way with, like, rock or pop punk and all that stuff. But I do listen to this indie band or this independent band that I love, right, called Fall Out Boy. And they're my jam.
I was waiting for
them. They're my jam. They're my Fall Out Boy.
We don't mention them, especially after, what was it, a couple of days ago when they did the cover of We Didn't Start the Fire.
You're saying words right now, Barrett.
I know the song. I haven't heard the cover yet.
I refuse to listen to it. I've seen the lyrics, and it is fucking horrid.
So it's okay. So hold on now. I had seen someone put up what I thought was them parodying themselves. The person putting up the tweet I thought was making fun of a modern We Start. Did they do a modern We Didn't Start the Fire?
They did a modern We Didn't Start the Fire.
I gotta listen to this shit.
It's fucking awful.
do they
rhyme George Floyd with Metroid?
Oh no.
That is what I saw spelled out on a wall, and I thought it was a joke. Oh my God, what a dumb age to be alive for all of us. This also then doubles the video games, right? Mm-hmm. Where again, like, you know, I joke around, but I do, it's a little literal thing of like when I make, oh no, I was reviewing this, and you and Jen are like, well, I was in the third grade when you reviewed that. I'm like, Jesus. But it's also to the point now that it's crazy that I think, you know, I always talk about, I'm lucky enough that I, you know, I was cognizant, I feel like, from NES on, right? So it's like I got to grow up with video games. So sure, there's old people like Craig Harris, like, oh, you don't remember Intellivision or whatever. Like, shut up, Craig Harris. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. But like, it is that idea that there's like generations now, and it's always, oh, well, somebody's first console was the N64, the PS2, you know, and it's like, wow, to think about that, that isn't just something you knew. You just, here we go. All right. Where do you want me to start from? Verse 3? Oh my God.
There's no way. Ain't no way.
This is real?
Wait, what is this song?
If we didn't get copyright striked, I would play it for you.
Sandy Hook, Columbine, Sandra Bland, and Bland and Tammy Rice, ISIS, LeBron James, Shinzo Abe, Blown Away, Meghan Markle, George Floyd, Burj Khalifa, Metroid. So he's just tossing in Metroid?
Yeah, what does Metroid
have
Metroid
to do with any of this?
I can kind of see.
Is that a real thing, or is he referencing the game?
It's only the game, right?
Like, you know, the remake.
Fermi Paradox, I don't know what that is.
He loved Metroid Prime Remaster.
Fermi Paradox, I don't know what that is. Venus and Serena. Venus and Serena. Michael Jordan, 23. YouTube killed. MTV SpongeBob. Golden State Killer got caught. Michael Jordan, 45. Woodstock, 99. Keaton, Batman, Bush, V. Gore. I can't take it anymore.
No, I get what you're saying here. I get what you're saying.
No, we're leaving Fall Out Boy behind. They came back for Save Rock and Roll, and it was cute, and we just ignore everything
else. It's the juxtaposition of the tragedies of the world,
Kevin,
with your childhood wonders.
What is the Fermi Paradox? Hold on. Okay, you got to get on a mic. Nobody can hear you. Everybody, I knew Kevin would know, but I didn't think he'd be able to come in. Here he is. He's getting ready for a big stream for birthdays.
So that's where the universe is big enough that it should have a lot of life, but it doesn't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Or at least
that we know of. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
There's life out there.
Trust me, I'm looking for intelligent life to show up in this fucking universe, because every day we prove it doesn't exist. Back to this. Can I see the next set of lyrics, please?
Oh, you want
to
see verse 2?
I got it.
I don't know if I can handle
people are
verse
loving
two.
This. They love spoken word, Greg Miller. Elon Musk, Kaepernick, Texas failed electric grid, Jeff Bezos, climate change, white rhino goes extinct, Great Pacific garbage patch, Tom DeLonge, aliens, Mars rover, Avatar, self-driving electric cars. SSRIs, I don't know what that is. Prince and the Queen die. World Trade, second plane. Jesus, what else do I have to say?
I feel like a lot of these things aren't on the same level. I don't know.
Give me another one.
But also,
is he
talking about the blue people avatar, or is he talking about the last airbender? The
more war in Afghanistan. Cubs go all the way. Obama, Spielberg, explosion, Lebanon, Una, bomber, Bobbitt, John. Ugh.
Yeah, I feel like
John.
He's running out of things to say here. But,
well, this is from the start. We're going in reverse. Bombing Boston Marathon, Balloon Boy, War on Terror, QAnon, Trump gets impeached twice, Polar Bears got no ice.
Firefest Black Parade. Why are we resting?
I want you to know yesterday.
Are we putting Firefest on the same level as 9/11?
I was racking my brain trying to use Eminem's Without Me lyrics for the FTC trial with Phil Spencer. Because the FTC won't let me be clown game. I was like, even for me, and I hate using this, I hate it as an adjective. I'm like, this is too cringe. Yeah. Someone should have deleted this tweet of a song. Captain
Deepfake
Planet,
earthquakes.
Arab Spring, LA riots, Rodney King, deep fakes, earthquakes, Iceland volcano, Oklahoma City bomb, Kurt Cobain,
this does feel
Pokemon.
Like you told an AI to write a song.
Tiger
about
Woods, MySpace, Monsanto, GMOs, Harry Potter, Twilight, Michael Jackson dies, nuclear accident, Fukushima, Japan, Crimean Peninsula, Cambridge, Atlantica, Kim Jong-un, Ronnie Downey Jr., Iron Man.
It's legitimately like, hey, you feed an AI the instructions of sum up major events of the last 20 years in two words each. Like, that's basically what they just did.
And this is, so here's my question. Superboy, great name, and YouTube says, I mean, look at the old lyrics. It's just as bad, just a different gen. I do wonder if when that song, when Billy Joel put it out, people were like, what the fuck is he doing? You know what I mean? Because like we were, I don't even know when that song came out, but whenever I heard on the radio, I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so it's like history, and that's kind of cool or whatever, but it was like, you know, JFK blown away. What else do I have to say?
I guess. I think the thing is that time changes, right? And so like, people get
Harry Truman,
people
Doris
get better
Day, Red
songs.
China,
and
Johnny
song
Ray,
change.
Well, I don't even know.
Like that
people
could work whenever that original song came out, but not work at all in 20. This is 2023 that this came out.
That just came out yesterday or some shit.
Jesus.
Right? And then Billy Joel's "We Didn't Start the Fire." I don't see. Oh, 89.
89. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. What is this?
Joseph Stalin, Malenkov, Nazarene. I mean, I don't know my history. Rockefeller, communist bloc. See, I feel like his is way more serious for the most part. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn's got a winning team. Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland. Baroda, Budapest, Alabama, Georgia, Princess Grace, Peyton Place. Yeah, see, I don't even know what the fuck is going on. You know what I mean? I don't even know what the fuck's going on.
Listen to the Lil Uzi Vert album.
I think it's probably, if anything, it's probably the juxtaposition of events there and having them crammed into what is considered just a classic song. Like, rather than come up with your own "We Didn't Start the Fire,"
yeah,
Fall Out Boy was like, well, if no one else will, I'll do it. And they came out and they're like, I'm going to make the modern one.
It reminds me, I'm going to butcher this. I think Tim Geddes would remember better than I do because I was a kid when this happened. But I remember, I think Disney Channel did a version of "We Are the World." And
well, they did the Imagine one during COVID too, not Disney Channel, but Gal Gadot.
Yeah, and that was terrible. And yeah, like, it's like basically that, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, let's recreate this moment, but you do it in the most cringe way possible because guess what? Like that was original because the original one was the original one, but then when you copy it, it's like, oh no, this doesn't work when you're trying to recreate that spark.
I have bad news in the chat on YouTube. WGO goes, why didn't they mention the Gollum game? Well, that's because the Lord of the Rings Gollum Studio is done making games. Baldur's Gate 3 is really, really long and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through bad Fall Out Boy songs and all the gaming news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. That's where you can write in with your questions, comments, concerns, and squad up requests to be part of the show live. Of course, if you'd like to watch the show live as we record it, good news, you can for free on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live like WGOWGO is, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody listening and watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Of course, if you like what we do here, if you like these shenanigans, if you like us being able to feed our families, head on over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. On patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can toss us a few bucks, and guess what? You can get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free as a YouTube video and podcast for your perusal. Of course, you'd also get the ability to get all the podcasts live as we record them one day early and also ad-free. They'd be on demand ad-free as YouTubes and MP3s and everything else as well. Plus, some exclusive merch and cool opportunities are all over there. Gregways, Kinda Feudies, you name it, they're there. patreon.com/kindoffunny. If you have no bucks to toss away there, no big deal. Consider using the Epic Game Store promo code kindoffunny. That's our creator code. When you're checking out in the store, you could do it. Get us some money. You get charged no more money. And you can also do it on your console of choice whenever you're using something like Fortnite, Rocket League, etc. Housekeeping for you. A brand new episode of PS I Love You XOXO is up right now, where we talk about our 15 most anticipated games for the rest of the year on PlayStation 5. You can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Is PS I Love You XOXO a banger of an episode, a fun time.
I must listen.
Yeah. We got no, we didn't need to deal with the FTC.
You know, oh, yeah, I was tired.
I don't know what Jim Ryan's talking shit about.
I think after, what, like our sixth day in a row of talking about the FTC, my brain starts to melt a little bit.
Let's get back to talking about some video.
And so, yeah, it was nice to sit down and be like, we're going to talk about it on PS Love You, and then us going, let's not talk about the FTC.
Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny right now, you can get a brand new Remember Blank where we remember our favorite games. Guess what? It's just me. That's right. It's a one-on-one. We did one combo, Remember Blank Gregway. It's 30 minutes plus up right now on patreon.com/kindoffunny.
It's like the combination KFC Taco Bell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm at that Pizza Hut. I'm at that Taco Bell. I'm at that you can go over there and get it. It's up there. It's a great time. A whole bunch of your stories, a whole bunch of my stories, talking about why we love professional wrestling games. Remember Blank doesn't work without your memories. And right now, over on kindoffunny.com/rememberblank. I'm asking you for your favorite summer gaming memories. That's right. Do that, and next week, we'll be talking about those with you. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Casey Andrew, Delaney Twining, and James Hastings. Today, we're brought to you by BetterHelp. We'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
Up it goes.
That's incorrect. There's seven.
Seven items on the Roper Report. In the live chat, Invisible Man said, I'm not sure what one-on-one means. It means it's just me talking to you. It's a one-man podcast. But since I'm reading your stories and I'm talking straight to you, it's like we're having a conversation. There's no mic. There's no
but, like, isn't that, like, more, like, one-on-tens of thousands?
No. No. You know how it is. It's a very personal relationship we have. Nobody thinks about that. You're in your car right now. You just ripped a fart, and you're driving stuck in traffic listening to this podcast. You're not thinking, oh, guess what? Tens of thousands of other people are ripping farts and drinking sodas and, you know, fucking jerking off.
Yeah, taking dumps. Yeah. I was thinking about that this morning. Like, I was getting ready, and I was taking a dump listening to a podcast. And I was like, huh, people do this when they listen to me talk, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody right now is doing that while listening to this podcast.
Now,
hope you're having a good time.
Earlier in one of the things that was going on, earlier on one of the comments, you're all great on the live chats today, so I can't keep everybody straight. Somebody did, when we were in the middle of the We Didn't Start the Fire conversation, was like, is this Games Daily or is this the podcast? You know, spoilers, it's a slow news day.
Yeah.
Here's the question I'll ask you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're free to write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD if you want.
God.
How many people do you think have had sex listening to our podcast?
Oh, a lot.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's not what you would normally think of. I haven't had sex to a podcast. Like, I've never had podcast listening escalate into sex.
Yeah. But, like,
other people have.
People do that to movies, right? Like,
yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, like Netflix and chill. And then that evolves.
Yes, I love you and chill.
Yeah. No, but I think it's like a couple that both listen to our show.
-1,000, says Alan Bragg.
But it was like a couple that, like, are both, you know, they're both into video games or they're both into movies or whatever shows they're listening to, right? And, like, they both listen to our shows together.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, you know, just on a random, let's say Friday evening, things evolve in a way, you know, and like, you don't have time to turn off the podcast.
No.
You got to get going. You
when
gotta
it's have a podcast, I feel like you do have a second to turn off.
No, you can rewind and listen back later for the parts that we missed. Or you get your video game news.
Manny Throne says in the shower, yes. That's an interesting one.
Like having sex in the shower? Or
yeah, sex in the shower. You get in the shower, you turn on the podcast. Well, you turn on the podcast, yeah. Get in the shower, and then the shower escalates.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah. Yeah, I think plenty. I think plenty. At least, okay. At least six people.
So three times?
One of them was a threesome.
Now, whoa, where is 69 having the real conversations? Shower sex ain't great. You ain't lying.
It's true.
Yeah. I agree.
Number one, everybody. Lord of the Rings Gollum Studio stopping making games. This is Sal Romano at Gamatsu. The Lord of the Rings Gollum developer, and full stop, we had a conversation before. I will take your wrongs. Daedalic? It's Greek. Daedalic or Daedalic? How do I guess like Daedalic? So Daedalic? We're gonna go Daedalic, and I will go until I'm
say Greek is one of my weak spots for pronunciation.
Sure. Back to it, sorry. Lord of the Rings Gollum developer Daedalic Entertainment will end internal game development and focus solely on publishing going forward, the company said today. In a statement, the company described the move as both a, quote, difficult turning point and a new beginning in the long history of Daedalic Entertainment. The move will affect 25 of Daedalic Entertainment's more than 90 employees. In a statement to Games Workshop, a company representative said, quote, we value each and every member of our team, and it is important to us that they transition, that the transition goes as smoothly as possible. Therefore, we will support our former employees in finding new opportunities within our network, end quote. Work on another The Lord of the Rings game has been in development since 2022, will be halted as part of the restructuring. The upcoming Deponia game, Surviving Deponia, is currently in development by external company Atomic Torch Studio and is therefore unaffected. Daedalic Entertainment is a subsidiary of Nacon, and which acquired it in 2022 and published Lord of the Rings Gollum. The game launched to largely disappointing reviews on May 25th, as you can see right here, right there.
Wow.
Remember when this game broke Roger?
I do.
And he saw it through. Like, good on him. He played the full thing, and I owe him a pizza for it. This isn't a surprise.
It is.
The more surprising thing for me is that this game came out in the state that it did.
It's rare that you see someone publish, develop and publish, right? I guess Nacon published it. But it's rare you see somebody put out a game and then go, that was crap.
Yeah, we're not good at this.
We're done.
Pack it up.
You know what, everybody? We're sorry. We're done. We're going to stop here. We appreciate what you did. You go for it. That's the, like, huh. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, booed so hard they left not only the ring, the arena, they left the sport. They're just like, you know what? Peace. We've done irreparable damage, and we're not good at this, and we're not going to come back.
But I think that's the thing, is the irreparable damage part. Because I look at their history as a company, and yeah, they've published a lot of games. Like, they published more than they developed games. In 2023 alone, I am seeing, like, a handful, at least 10 games here that they're publishing from different smaller developers, right? And, like, a lot of these I haven't heard of, right? Like, there's this game Capes, there's a game called Reveal, Wild Woods, Wonderful, right? And, like, these are from developers like Splitfire Interactive, The Rat Projects, Pixel Split, Octofox Games, the list goes on. And, like, can't speak to the quality of any of these games, but it seems like they look toward, like, smaller games, right, to publish on that level. But then when you look at the games they developed, yeah, in 2023, they only released Lord of the Rings Gollum. 3 years back, they released this game, A Year of Rain. A couple years before that, State of Mind. A year before that, Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth, The Long Journey Home. Like, the list goes on of games that, not heard of any of these.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings Gollum is the highest profile title that they've developed here. And I think the fact that that was a failure on a level that everybody saw probably made this a bigger thing than it needed to be for them, where it's like, okay, no, we're done. Like, we don't need to develop games, because obviously here we have so much experience publishing, and, like, we do so much publishing. And when we develop games, it's not like any of these are hits, right? Like, I've not heard of any of these games.
Again, there's this conversation about having a parent company, right? The fact of, if you go to Nobody's correcting me, so I'm going to go with Daedalic. Mm. Daedalic's a thing. And somebody did put in there, oh, it's Greek, like, and they put in the guy whose name it's based on. I'm like, I don't know how to pronounce that name. That doesn't help me. Anyway, so you go to their history page, right, and established in 2007, Daedalic Entertainment is a publisher and developer of high-quality video games, blah, 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 and you know, blah, blah, blah. Since April 1st, 2022, so just over a year ago, mm-hmm. Daedalic Entertainment is a 100% subsidiary of Nacon Entertainment, Nacon,
okay.
Which is what we're talking about before.
Yeah.
What's fascinating about that, right? This is off of the Daedalic page, right? You click on Nacon, right? Then you jump over to their thing over here, and they have their, you know, video games, right? You click on video games. Oh, sure. What do you guys publish? And they have their latest products here listed out. They have they got racing, they got action adventure, they got sport, they got simulation. Not one mention of Gollum. Mm-hmm. Gollum is like not on this page, which is fascinating and interesting because Nacon, right, are the publisher who I went to for demos a couple weeks ago before SGF where I saw RoboCop. And when I came back, I was like, oh, RoboCop was actually really interestingly weird and fun and da-da-da. And when they gave a presentation about it, they did mention Lord of the Rings Gollum there. Mm. But it was like in a, you know, their litany list of other games that they have people making and doing stuff. So I just think it's interesting that like, I wonder how much of, hey, all right, Daedalic, like you're done making games or whatever. This is how it's going to go. We're going to move on. You're just going to be, we're going to use you as a publishing arm because clearly you already have stuff going and different things with different people and you know what you're doing or whatever. But however, we won't do this.
Yeah. I mean, you look through Nacon and Nacon, like as soon as you said the name, I'm like, oh, I recognize Nacon, right? And you go through the catalog and it is like a lot of these WRC games that I see released every single year, the racing games. It is like they do the session skate sim, you know, the Vampire the Masquerade Swan Song, right? And like they have a list of games that are low key, but also I can see the audience for. Like they publish a handball game every year. They publish a rugby game.
They got Chef Life Simulator, Chef Life, a restaurant simulator, which I liked enough when I glanced at it that I got a code for and I still haven't played. Also, there's an energy today. On Friday here at the end of a long week. I want to give a shout out to the chat that is just constantly spamming different ways to fucking say it. No one's agreeing with each other. It's just nonstop people. And no one's written into you're wrong to tell me how to do it.
Funkadelic in chat says Dildalus is how it's spelled.
We're just going to call it DE. Daedalus Entertainment. That's what it is. DE.
DE. But yeah, like, you know, Nacon has this list of games that that keeps them going, right? That like I think that pays the bills for them. And they seem like they're pretty good at what they do. And so,
well, this is a big thing about it too that I didn't know from Nacon, right? When I got the presentation over there, their whole thing was they are big in the peripheral market. That's where it kind of started for them, and that's where they were going. And so then the game stuff has been coming up more recently with them. Before it was controllers, they have rig, they have mice, they have all this different things there. So it's like a weird, you know, you're like, oh, it's paying the bills and getting done. Is it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's, you know, so many different, so much room for publishers of all sizes and shapes and meeting their, you know, requirements for what they need to go out there and do for their business model. But yeah.
And I think for me, the bigger thing here is that they're working on another Lord of the Rings game. And that's been in development since last year.
Chris B. games anymore.
Yo, chat's on one today.
Oh man, I'm having fun.
If you're somebody who listens to podcasts or whatever, like I would recommend going to the YouTube video because you can click the live chat, I believe, for a video that's already been out, and then watch with the live chat there. This is probably one to watch with the live chat because the live chat is Daedalic my balls.
Dog, dog, dog.
Now imagine someone having sex to this. It's not happening.
Nah, man. I think we can have
it. Now Evan says it's Daedalus. It rhymes with Icarus, and it is Icarus's father. So Icarus, Daedalus.
Daedalus.
Daedalus. Daedalus.
Ain't no way of pronouncing this Daedalus. Not one person is pronouncing this Daedalus. But yeah, the fact that they're working on the Lord of the Rings game, and now that's been halted, I think that's bigger. I think that's a big story right there, right? Like, Lord of the Rings is a huge franchise. the Gollum developer making another Lord of the Rings game, kind of wild. But also, yeah, like, they greenlit it before this game came out to terrible reception, and so I can understand how that happens. But my question there is, I guess this kind of goes back to Embracer and Amazon, and what is the Lord of the Rings strategy here? Because so far you're like 0-1.
So we've already known, obviously, Embracer Group's talked a lot about, hey, here's what's going on. We have the rights to Lord of the Rings. This was one of their big things for publishing, doing it. There's an article I was able to pull up from the FPSReview.com from February 2023 talking about 5 Lord of the Ring games set to release within the next 24 months, Embracer Group, right? Embracer Group acquired Middle Earth Enterprises in August 2022, granting it the intellectual property rights to the video games based on the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit franchises. This goes on, according to Embracer's Q3 report. There are currently 5 Lord of the Rings games in development, all of which are slated to release in the next 24 months. One of these is presumably Lord of the Rings Gollum, an upcoming cinematic stealth adventure from Icarus Daedalus. I gotta say Icarus to be able to say Daedalus Entertainment, that Embracer Group will be earning royalties from. So we already knew, obviously, there was a business arrangement there. Then, of course, since this was published, we know Embracer Group had the gigantic deal fall through. Then they put out the whole thing of like, yo, we're going to have to lay off a bunch of people and close studios. We're figuring it out.
Lord of the Rings.
Now think about it this way. On top of all that, bad news for Embracer Group. Mm. And granted, we already knew Gollum was a failure at that point in time. Now you get to work on another Lord of the Rings game, which has been in development since 22, will be halted as part of the restructuring. Although not exactly Embracer Group's problem, their problem, right?
Yeah. Like they're not going to earn royalties.
You have to assume, based on the deal, they were going to get royalties from this too. It's another line item that just went from hopefully being green or being black at least to being red.
So now we've gone from zero for one with Lord of the Rings Gollum to now 0 for 2 with Gollum and the cancel or the halt of this upcoming game that Daedalus was working on.
Yeah. Outrageous. And that's the thing of it's so crazy of like Embracer Group not being able to fucking buy a break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is, all right, we're getting Lord of the Rings. Even if the games are bad, they'll make money. Even if the games, you know, aren't the best thing in the world, the audience will come for them.
Yeah.
Gollum burns that bridge, like ruins it, if anybody even bought Gollum, which I don't think they did. And then it's like, okay, we're not making as much as we thought we'd make, because royalties are royalties. And then it's like, all right, we'll get royalties off the next game. We're not getting that. All right, well, we're having to lay these people off. The deal didn't go through. And like,
yeah. And to be fair, to Embracer Group, they weren't the ones that made the deal with Daedalus for Gollum, because Gollum was greenlit in and out.
Neither, and they wouldn't have been the ones who made the deal for Daedalus's next.
And so not their fault, but they are seeing the negative ramifications.
Exactly. It's not their fault at all, but they are going to feel these ramifications at a time where more than anything, they just need capital. They just need money to come through.
Yeah.
So it's just an outrageous thing of like yet another punch in the gut for them as they try to get going and get some kind of momentum, but they can't even do that. And then this is happening. And then, again, you wonder what the conversations are over there of not Nacon coming in and be like, oh, you guys are done.
Yeah.
Listen, we saw this. You were just done. This is over. But we'll have to wait and see
for
what happens next with Embracer Group. For now, let's move on to story number 2. Here's how long it takes to beat Baldur's Gate 3. This is Wesley Yinpool at IGN. Wondering if you'll be able to squeeze in a playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3 before Starfield comes out? Be warned. One run takes, on average, 75 to 100 hours, developer Larian has said.
Jesus.
Baldur's Gate 3 is a sprawling, open-ended, role-playing game from the makers of Divinity Original Sin. Speaking to IGN, Larian boss Sven Vicky said the developer is seeing a standard playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3 take 75 to 100 hours. However, players who want to do everything should expect to double that figure. Between 75 and 100 hours is what we're seeing, he said. But, or I'm sorry, that's not doing everything. That is just going to be a playthrough. There will be people who will be way over that. The ones who want to do everything. They will probably hit 200 hours, I think. On average, we're seeing people who are going through take about 75 to 100 hours. Vinky pointed out, however, that Larian expects to see different playstyles upon Baldur's Gate 3's release. Those who play the game in multiplayer, for example, may take over a year to finish the game as they organize regular sessions with friends. Quote, there are multiple ways of playing it, right, he said. We saw that with Divinity Original Sin 2, and it will be no different here. People who are going to be playing in multiplayer, they'll take a year and a half. They will make regular sessions where they play, like D&D, end quote. Even after a playthrough is complete, players may feel compelled to reroll due to the nature of Baldur's Gate 3 itself, he suggested. Quote, it has an enormous amount of replay because there are so many ways to do things. I think people will reroll a lot. We have this insane amount of classes, subclasses, races, subclasses. Okay. lots of subclasses. This is not a small game you're going to be done with.
They got sub-races.
Oh, sub-races. I apologize. In a month. You will be playing in bits and chunks. Maybe you'll drop in with a friend in multiplayer. We have drop-in, drop-out multiplayer also. There are so many ways of playing it.
There's somebody in chat that says, I'm so excited, it's so big, and I'm trying to... See? People are having sex while listening to the show.
Goddamn right. One quick drop in there, too. Another piece of news that came out, of course, yesterday about Baldur's Gate 3 came from the PlayStation blog, where Emily Guerra, a product manager from Larian Studios, wrote, Baldur's Gate 3 is a big RPG. A great big, uncompromising RPG. It shows in the numbers. More than 170 hours of cinematics and featuring three times more cinematic dialogue than all three The Lord of the Rings novels combined. Jesus. A library of more than 600 spells and actions, and plenty more.
Yo, we gotta cool it.
This is what I want. I want everybody...
It's gonna take you a year. You got 170 hours of cinematics to watch?
I want everybody to turn to the Dying Light 2 developers and apologize. Because we all got mad when they were like, yeah, our game has a lot of content. We all fucking shat on them for this. But everybody's excited about this, as you should be, because... Yeah, like, this is cool if you're somebody who's super into Baldur's Gate 3. My homie Alex Van Aken and my friend Nato also, and quite a few people I knew, played a lot of Divinity Original Sin 2 when that came out. And, of course, that's also from Larian, similar kind of game. And that was so many of their favorite game of the year. That's so many people's, like, one of their favorite RPGs ever. The depth of it, the amount of content, the amount of things you can do with the D&D structure of the game in order to like create your own content as well. That was the thing that spoke so widely to people and so deeply to people that were into this kind of world, right? Especially it being based in D&D. And so, yeah, like Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be huge, both in the sense of it is going to speak to a lot of people. Well, yeah, also, I think the fact that it is 170 hours of cinematics, the fact that it is going to take you 70 to 100 hours for a standard playthrough. And hey, maybe you might want to reroll your character and play again, right? Sure. Maybe you might want to partner up with friends and do meet up every Friday night and do a few missions, right, to further on your campaign. These are the options that very much are going to speak to this community, and that is dope for them. Like that is really awesome. It doesn't speak to me because I'm not this kind of game kind of person. I'm not this kind of player. But yeah, like shout out to this. That's really cool that they're able to actually make something that is this content filled, that is this
deep. They're delivering for the audience that is the Baldur's Gate audience.
Yeah,
this is what these people want. This is what these type of gamers want. Like I always wanted to get into Divinity. I heard such great things about it and it never worked for me. And so I look at Baldur's Gate 3 and I'm like, I want to try it, but again, for our lives and our review periods and everything else going on, let alone the fact that it will be Starfield momentarily, and I'm more excited for Starfield personally just based on setting and think world building than that. And not to mention that it's like, oh, well, you could do this and you could reroll. And it's like, yeah, I could do that. I could do that in Diablo. I've already put so much time in Diablo. I'll be running Diablo seasons.
There's so many nerdy-ass video games coming out now. Like, so many video games that you can put your whole self into. And so, yeah, Diablo is one of those games. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've not been able to get too deep into Diablo is the fact that I know the commitment that Diablo asks, and I just don't have the bandwidth for that commitment.
Sure enough.
Same with Baldur's Gate 3.
That's where I'm at, honestly, a little bit with Final Fantasy, where it's like, every time I get that night free to play Final Fantasy, it's like, well, I could, but I'm going to have to move on to this game to review. So why do I really want to put 3 hours into this, 50-hour, 60-hour Final Fantasy when I know that I need to knock out this game, which I hope is 10 hours shorter?
It's the economy of time that we've talked about with like games and service games, but I think speaks as much to RPGs as well, where do I put 60 hours into Diablo or do I put 50 hours into Final Fantasy 16? Well, I'm going to choose Final Fantasy 16 because I know there's a higher chance that I'm going to fall in love with that because that's more my kind of game. Am I going to put 30 hours into Dave the Diver or am I going to...
Come on now, Dave the Diver.
And yes,
I'm very much right now, like, I want to beat the game I'm reviewing to then go get into Dave the Diver.
I'm very, like, every time I get back to my desk and I see, like, a few minutes of time, I'm like, do I boot up Dave the Diver now for the next 30 minutes and play that? Like, I'm excited to try to put that amount of time into Dave the Diver because that speaks to me. I think that looks like a really cool type of game. But yeah, when Baldur's Gate comes through, it is going to be, all right, I know Starfield comes out in a month, or I know Armored Core comes out in a few weeks. And do I get into Baldur's Gate 3? For so many people, the answer is going to be yes. Like, probably for most people, honestly, the answer is going to be that over Armored Core. I would imagine, right? This is me just speculating. But yeah, like, it's the economy of time that you got to figure out how you're going to spend as a player. And so many people are going to spend hundreds of hours in Baldur's Gate 3, and it's going to be a lot of people's, I predict, favorite game of all time. In fact, this is one that might be, I think there's a chance we could see it in Game of the Year conversations. I think
Baldur's Gate 3?
Yeah. I think because it's such a competitive year, and Baldur's Gate 3 probably is more of a hardcore, like way more of a hardcore RPG, maybe it slips for stuff like Final Fantasy and Zelda and all that stuff, but for sure you will see it in RPG of the year. And if this game delivers, it probably wins.
I'm seeing a lot of people go through and they were like, oh my God, but then it is a great game and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, oh no, I don't know. I want to play. I want to try it. And mainly right now, it works against it, of course, is that it's coming to that filthy PC first. And then a month later, it comes to PlayStation, but then it'll be Starfield time. But I am looking right now at a video where they have it running on a Steam Deck. So like, if I can make it run on a Steam Deck, maybe I try it out there and I go that way. It's not verified. It's playable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good enough.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just
Fallout 4 is just playable, but that's because, you know, like the text, like entering in your name and stuff is weird at the beginning. But once you get past that, bing, bang, boom.
Last of Us Part 1 was playable when it came to PC. It just took 10 hours to load.
Yeah. Joel looked like a cartoon character. He looked like the star of an Annapurna game. You know what I mean? Like he's a Speaking of Annapurna, I want to tell you all about the showcase we loved yesterday. But first, I'll tell you about this website we love, patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you can get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free. You can get all the other podcasts ad-free. You can watch them while we record those other podcasts live. You, of course, get them a day early as we record them live. You get them on demand, ad-free, like I said. You could, of course, get a whole bunch of bevy of hundreds of other, literally hundreds of other episodes of shows like Kinda Feudy, Greg Way, and so much more only on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But you're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny, so here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know this from experience, how often it just seems easier to care about others and to keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burnt out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my very best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, Greg.
Yeah.
Earlier in our conversation, I mentioned that if Baldur's Gate 3 hits, it probably wins RPG of the year.
Uh-huh.
And right after I said that, I had to think about it for a second because then I was reminded Starfield comes out, and I was like, okay, well, also
Final Fantasy just happened,
and then also Diablo 4, which action I don't RPG? Think about as an RPG, but it
yeah,
is
I don't think it would win action RPG. I don't think it would.
You
win
don't RPG. Think it would win RPG of the year?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprised me.
Do you think it would? I mean, like, you guys love Final Fantasy so much, and then Starfield.
But I feel like those are more. Maybe game of the year conversations, right? And like, I would think
it's gonna win.
It can win both.
I know.
I mean, yeah, but like, I think when we talk about RPG, there's a level of like hardcoreness that a game like Baldur's Gate 3 speaks to. Like, that's my thing. Is I put up a poll on Twitter just to see what people are talking about. Oh, it's Brian Altano. What the fuck?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, actually.
Like some coffee?
Oh,
would
yes,
you like
please.
Some coffee.
Yeah, yes, please. Yes,
thank
please.
You, honey. You can freshen me up.
Big boys need big coffee for big mornings. We're talking about big video game news. Everybody's having a great morning. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Brian Altano.
Good morning, Glenn.
Now, Brian, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What game would you predict wins RPG of the year at the Game Awards? All right, we got Baldur's Gate 3, Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 16, and Starfield.
Well, at Sunshine Diner, the only game we have is smiles. Can I top you off with more coffee? Would you like coffee?
Top me off.
There we go. Would
you like? Appreciate it so much.
Sure, thank you.
Would you want to listen?
Why not? Sure. No, there it is. Yeah, that's great.
Would you like some, would your laptop like
some? Oh, yeah. No, wait, hold on a second now. That laptop's been in service since 2015, all right?
This laptop already crashes once a week, and so...
Oh, yeah, once sure. a week. Refresh it. Turn it on. Restart it.
And I do, every day I turn it off and turn it back on.
Sunshine Coffee's been in business since 2021. We just started 2 years ago. It was a bad time for us.
Yeah, it's a bad time to open a coffee shop.
Everything was closed except for us. Can I get you some coffee?
Yeah, I'll take some coffee. Yeah, sure.
Would
I love coffee.
Would your mouse like some coffee?
I mean, probably not the mouse. No. I feel like it's not good for the
Please
mouse.
Please go. Please go. Please leave.
Would anybody love some? Does this smoke machine want any coffee? Do you need any coffee over here? Does the audience need any coffee?
I'm sure the audience could use some coffee.
Would anybody like some coffee?
I heard coffee enhances sex.
Brian, stay away from the cameras.
He's like a vampire. We invited him in. We did this to ourselves. We invited him in. God damn it, Brian, go away with the coffee.
Happy birthday, Sunshine Diner.
And Tim Geddes.
So Game Awards, who's going to win RPG is the question. I don't think it'll be Baldur's Gate. Because I do think, unless it's a breakout hit, I just don't think it's Game Awards. And this isn't me knocking the Game Awards, right? Because it's all of us voting, all these different outlets. But we've talked about it before, where it is really like the mainstream game. So I really do feel like it's going to be Starfield, Final Fantasy, and then Diablo's in there, but I don't think Diablo will have the juice because I think the story of Starfield and the story of
Final Fantasy
will connect more than the role-playing mechanics of how much I love going through and making my poison build, or how, you know, I see Gary right now has a great sorcerer build and stuff like that. Like, that's such nerdy shit that I bet people drop out before endgame stuff and really worry about that. See,
my thing with Final Fantasy is that
it's not much of an RPG.
that's the exact thing. I think it gets nominated into RPG of the year because it's Final Fantasy, but that is an action game. Like, God of War Ragnarok is more of an RPG than Final Fantasy 16.
See, which is honestly such a turnoff for me with it. Where it's like, I understand, and I'm going to play it, and I love the action of it. But, like, I am more like, I kind of wish this was open. I kind of wish I was doing the Final Fantasy, the thing that people loved before of, you know, leveling up and doing the thing. And
I mean, you're still doing that,
right? Yeah, like really building your character, right? Yeah. Building your healer or whatever.
Yeah, I say take it to the bank. Starfield wins RPG of the year.
Unless they shit the bed, I think so too.
Yeah, Zelda wins game of the year.
Fair enough. I like that one. Number three on the Rupp Report has a bunch of games that could win awards, though. Yesterday was the Annapurna Interactive Showcase. We, of course, reacted to it live on Twitch and YouTube. You can watch the archive of our reaction on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It was me, the master of hype, Snowbike Mike, and Blessing at AOEA Jr. Both me and Mike gave it a 4 out of 5. Blessing giving the showcase a 5 out of 5. You said it was as good as Annapurna can do.
Yeah, I can't imagine a better showcase from Annapurna Interactive for who they are currently as a publisher. And them finishing it off by announcing a Blade Runner game that is being developed internally. Fantastic. Like, I wouldn't have expected that, and that's a huge get for them.
Yeah, 100%. Of course, you know, there was a whole bunch of stuff in there. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes come to Switch and PC. Cocoon gets a release date of September 29th. We saw Lush Foil Photography Sim. Looked cool. Coming to PC and console later on. Tua T debuted. It looks like a wacky-ass game coming from the developer. Oh, God, it's getting away from me, and I don't want to speak out of turn. It's gone.
Stardew Valley? Or not Stardew Valley.
Katamari, I thought. Was it Katamari? Somebody talked about it after the fact. It wasn't in the trailer we're watching right now, which is a Dynamite trailer. You need to go watch and listen to the song. It's not coming to PlayStation everywhere else. Ghost Bike was shown. It's coming in 2024.
It is?
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. Got it. Still got it, Greg. Stray's coming to Xbox on August 10th. Thirsty Suitors is coming everywhere November 2nd. Storyteller is getting a free update, new content, and new characters, and coming to Netflix September 26th. And then the big one at the very end. Annapurna said, we are making an in-house game here in studio, and it is Blade Runner 2033 Labyrinth, coming to PC and console. No date, gameplay, really character, or description of the game given, other than, hey, it's a Blade Runner game.
Yeah. Again, I think this is an excellently paced and constructed showcase for games that we already knew about. They gave us more information. We got multiple dates on games that we're waiting on dates for, games like Cocoon and games like Thirsty Suitors, right? It was nice getting concrete release dates on those. The new games that they announced
all looked interesting, right? To a T, looks really funny. It looks really cute. The Ghost Bike game looks really interesting, right? Like, I really enjoyed what they had to show. Lushful photography sim, not my thing, but still looks excellent. Looks like a...
You don't want to play that? You don't want to go take some photos?
No, I'm not a big photo simulation guy. Yeah, even, like, Pokemon Snap doesn't really speak to me that much. But, yeah, like, good for the people that does speak to. I think this looks like a really cool one of those. And, yeah, like, I mean, even the developer spotlights that... Where those devs didn't have much to show in terms of games, I think the focus that they put on them to actually get us interested in who those devs are, I think Annapurna does that better than anybody. Yeah. It's, you know, it's focused. It's they have, you know, good variety in terms of how they show these devs, so it doesn't all mold together. The example I always give for a bad example of how to do a showcase like this would be the Koch Media, Koch Primetime Showcase from a few years ago. I talked about it. In two episodes of The Blessing Show ago where I talked about video game showcases, and that was just Zoom call after Zoom call of them interviewing devs and them talking about, too much about their video games and a lot of the details getting lost there. The fact that Annapurna goes on location, shoots a thing, kind of gives each of the developer spotlights different cinematography, so you kind of feel the difference between what these who these devs are and what they're doing, and then they have these really interesting stories to share. That gets you invested in a way that, you know, what makes you want to follow who these devs are and makes you actually want to follow them to their final game. And so,
oh, these two, the married devs, remember these two?
Yeah, like the married devs. Yeah, they're really cool. And then, yeah, the guy that Bear was just showing who
Rhode Island.
I was gonna say Portland.
Yeah, I know.
It's definitely the East Coast.
No, it's for sure Rhode Island. But, live in and then it was also. There was a great comment yesterday in the Twitch stream, was just like, why does Blessing think hipsters only exist in Portland?
Am I wrong? Do they not?
It was then usurped by on PS I Love You when we called Eka. And he's like, no, I knew I had Blessing when there was some ass on the screen.
Eka doesn't live too far from Portland, all right? If you want to have that conversation. Seattle, basically just
Eka the hipster. Okay, we're moving on, ladies and gentlemen. It was a great showcase.
It was really fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for a lot of these games. I'm excited to see. Could have gone for more dates for the stuff I'm into, but I know the good things take time, so I'll be okay. I'm happy to get a Thirsty Suitors date. Very excited for that.
More storyteller content is something that'll have me excited always.
Sure. Number four on the Roper Report, Monster Hunter Rise has sold 13 million copies. This comes from a tweet from Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter Rise has now sold over 13 million units, with Sunbreak achieving more than 6 million units worldwide, too. To our global community, thank you. Your amazing support and passion for Monster Hunter is felt by everyone on the team. Happy hunting. And so, yeah, they break it down that Monster Hunter Rise, 13 million units sold, and then Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, 6 million units sold. Blessing.
Yes.
Monster Hunter is inarguably bigger than ever.
Yep.
Which is crazy, because Monster Hunter was so big in Japan before it really got big here in the States. What do you think this means for Monster Hunter now? Well, yesterday we talked about Niantic and their layoffs and their studio closure. Yeah, their studios closing and some and their layoffs. But they are still putting out Monster Hunter now, their Pokemon Go of Monster Hunter, very soon. I want to say September, but I need a you're wrong on that one check. Mm. Do you think that is actually going to find an audience?
The Monster Hunter mobile game?
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard to say, right? I think Tim talked about it yesterday on the show and put it well in terms of Pokemon Go was so successful because it's Pokemon. Like, Pokemon does that in whatever version it comes out in. Put out Pokemon cards, they're going to be the biggest thing in the world. You put out any Pokemon collection thing, it's going to become the biggest thing in the world. And obviously, none of the Niantic AR things have become as big as Pokemon Go. But I do think that as they've been exploring these different IPs, there's potential for a lot of them to be successful, right? It's about finding the right one. NBA All-World, probably not the right one. A Monster Hunter game, I could see appeal there. For me, it's still... Monster Hunter is very popular. I don't know if it's Niantic AR game popular. And so it's hard for me to imagine that, like, it becomes this big success that everybody's talking about. But I think it can serve its audience. But also, the question is that enough for what Niantic looks for out of it?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know about the Monster Hunter Niantic game. That said... You know, really good for Monster Hunter to hit these numbers. Oh, and the future of Monster Hunter is so bright.
Where the fuck is Monster Hunter World 2?
Yeah.
That's going to, I mean, you want to talk about, like, it's going to pop off. When that drops, I think you're going to have a huge, if they get everything right, just a colossal hit on your hands.
I would imagine.
Because we loved World here. I played so much World. Me, Kevin, and Jen were obsessed. Some of my favorite memories of recent multiplayer gaming were Kevin coming over and his PJs playing. You know, GDC one night, we all left early, and it was me, Scott Lowe, and Xavier Woods at my house playing Monster Hunter on three different screens, just having a great time, right? And so I liked Rise from what I played. I, of course, missed the Switch boat, but I played it when it came to PlayStation 5, not this year, right? Which sounds ridiculous, but I enjoyed what we played there. You and I did some hunts together.
The fact that Monster Hunter Rise came out this year would make me think that World 2 would be maybe 2 years away.
You think so? My thought is, since it's just a port and it took a while to get here, World's got to be further along. I mean, I
would think a port would give you the time. Well, letting a port exist in the ether, right, on PlayStation 5, kind of give you the time and space to like take your time with World 2, right? Hey, we're making.
Oh yeah, but I mean, like, think we're making how much money on this. How much? Thing. I mean, how long has it been since Monster Hunter World?
2018. So we're probably talking about 5 years, but I mean, Rise. It's been only a couple years since Rise. I think you include Rise in that conversation for big Monster Hunter entries.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I mean,
I'm not yucking your yums on.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but like those are both mainline games, right? It's not like one's a spinoff.
No. Yeah, like it's, you know, it started as a Switch exclusive or whatever, right? Yeah. And they got ported everywhere. But no, they're both real Monster Hunter games. Yeah, there's nothing there.
Yeah. So that's what would lead me to believe that maybe we're a couple years out.
I'm saying right now, everybody. Bet your bottom dollar, Game Awards, Monster Hunter World 2 announcement.
When
this year?
What date?
December. It'll be in December.
But like, do they
the
say
Game Awards? December.
Do they say 2024?
Usually the Thursday before. They're joking. I don't think they'll put a date on it.
No.
It'll just be a Monster Hunter World 2 trailer. When we'll get it, who knows? I'm not going. I'm not ready to answer those questions yet.
Fair enough.
Number 5 on the Roper Report. I forgot. I was trying to see how many we had left. We still have a few. Scorn is coming to PS5 later this year. This is Chris Scullion at VGC. Xbox exclusive Scorn is coming to PlayStation 5 later this year. Developer Ebb Software has announced the first-person horror adventure game was released on Xbox Series X and PC on October 14th, 2022, and will now be coming to Sony's console. Quote, as we were developing the game for PlayStation 5, we finally had the opportunity to tap into the potential of the DualSense wireless controller to immerse you even further in this twisted world.
This time it'll be wet.
Extending the synthetic experience. Synesthetic?
Synesthetic.
What the hell is synesthetic?
Synesthesia? Okay, I'm going to look up.
No, you're not wrong. I don't know.
I'm looking up synesthetic because I don't know if I entirely know what synesthetic. When you hear music, but you see shapes. Oh. So it's kind of like, I think it's the audio-visual meeting into one.
All right. Experience of Scorn, the technical artist said on the blog. The release date is yet to be confirmed for PlayStation 5, but given it will be subject to exclusivity period on Xbox, it's unlikely to be here anytime before October 14th, 2023. Noble also tweeted out that Scorn has surpassed 2 million players, which is outrageous. Because I never hear anyone talk about this fucking
now,
game.
When they say 2 million players, and this is going to sound like I'm throwing so much shade.
I already know where, you're definitely loading like, the shade gun.
It came out on Game Pass, and so was that 2 million people?
Booted it up. Two for seconds,
went,
and like, you know,
oh man, this game was really wet. And then they popped out and never booted up again.
I remember there was a little bit of interest around here for Scorn. They delivered some kind of flesh controller. Yeah. And then nobody ever heard
about
it.
Well, the thing with Scorn that I think threw people off is that the game ended up being way different from what people thought it was.
Yeah.
Because in the trailers, you're like, oh, this is a really fucked up looking first-person shooter. But then you start playing the game, and it turns into more of a puzzle game.
Mm.
And I think that just threw a lot of people off because the expectations didn't match what the reality of the game was.
Well, we'll see if the PlayStation 5 audience will be duped as well. Number 6 on the Roper Report, Walking Dead is crossing over with Dying Light 2. Dying Light puts out a tweet and says, breaking news, Dying Light 2 joins forces with The Walking Dead by Skybound Games in a thrilling crossover event. Survive, scavenge, and slay the undead like never before. Stay tuned for more info. That's it.
I wish there was more info.
Well, remember, this was teased as well at SGF when they did the weird little... hey, Dying Light 2 update. And there was a guy at a table. And then at the end, he's like something about he held up the baseball bat with barbed wire. And I forget what he said. And me and Tim were both like, Negan? Are they saying Negan? And then this is now the next update to that. I won't lie to you. As a Walking Dead fan, this gets me excited.
Do you think, as
a Dying Light fan too, as well. We enjoy Dying Light 2, but I have not gone back. And I know they've put so much into
it. Do you think this is Walking Dead infiltrating the Dying Light 2 game or vice versa? Like there's going to be Dying Light 2 content and like a Walking Dead content?
No. I think it's going to be Walking Dead stuff comes to Dying Light 2.
That's fun. I like that.
Yeah. I don't know how they
would. I would play that. I'll go back to that.
Yeah. I would hope it would be like, I don't know. I hope it's not just like costumes or whatever. I hope it is like story stuff and then we're in here and doing this stuff.
They say slay the undead like never before.
Those give me a barbed wire baseball bat.
Yeah,
I'll get that. Seal. That's it.
Honestly, that sounds exactly like what it's going to be.
Seven and final on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. Sifu's getting another big update, and it's the final one. Sifu tweets, how many lives did it take you to get this far? How long ago did you first step in to Wugong? Get ready to put sweat, blood, and tears into triumph over the toughest challenges in Title Update 5. Your final trial awaits you next September on PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. This update will wrap up more than a year of continuous support through free updates and further expand on the arenas. And yes, you read that right. We're talking about 75 new challenges on top of the existing ones. Sifu.
This is incredible.
That gets you excited?
That gets me so excited. Yeah. I haven't sat down and watched the full trailer, but it's showing the visual as you were reading through. And I mean, it continues to look incredible. But like this game, you show me anything from Sifu and it already looks incredible. And so, unless it's on Switch. God, that Switch version looked terrible. But yeah, like just adding in new environments and new challenges, and it sounds like a lot of new content, honestly, from what they're talking about, gets me very excited. I really can't wait for this to come out.
We do have another breaking news for you here. This one comes from Kotaku, where Ethan Gotch writes, sources, Assassin's Creed publisher remaking Black Flag, the pirate one. Ubisoft is doubling down on its most popular franchises, including Assassin's Creed. Kotaku has learned that strategy now includes a remake of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, the 18th century pirate fantasy period piece, and one of the more fondly remembered entries in the series. It's what many fans have asked for every time they see a new trailer for Skull and Bones, Ubisoft's other pirate game, long trapped in development hell. According to two sources familiar with the plans, who asked not to be named because they were not authorized to discuss them, a remake of the 2013 cross-gen PS3 Xbox 360 game is still in the earliest stages and will not be complete for at least a few years. A team at Ubisoft Singapore, one of the studios that has led development on Assassin's Creed franchises, Evolving Ocean Tech, will be heavily involved in developing or helping modernize the Caribbean-based sailing game. A spokesperson for Ubisoft did not comment.
I have two thoughts on this.
Okay.
One, this gives me similar vibes as when we learned about the Last of Us remake, where this game came out, 2014? Correct me if I'm wrong.
2013.
Yeah. Even still, does this game need a remake? It only came out last gen.
Yes.
Yeah.
You think so?
Two gens ago.
It was a PS4 game.
No, well, it was at the very beginning of the PS4. It was a cross-gen between PS3 and PS4.
So here, I understand the argument you're making, because you can be like, well, Last of Us was a PS3 game, this is a PS, blah, blah, blah. Black Flag didn't get remastered already. You know what I mean? Like, Last of Us never left the conversation. Last of Us is still a game you were playing on your PS3, your PS4, and your PS5 via backwards compatibility.
But like, that Last of Us remaster came out in 2014, which would have been a year after this. If I got that correct. I think there's a similar amount of years ago.
Well, again, I already closed it. Control shift T.
My first thought. My second thought is just the fact that remakes are the thing, right? Right now. Like, I think every big publisher now seems like they are working on remakes to some extent. And the fact that, we're at the point where Ubisoft is remaking Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Oh, yeah. I think this is only the beginning. I think we're going to see a lot more remakes as we go. This seems to be the new cash cow.
Sure, because you keep fucking up new stuff and you can't make the audience happy with new stuff.
Yeah.
My thought here, though, is again, remaking Black Flag, obviously I could be totally wrong. We don't know shit about it. But my thought there would be that you're not doing the Last of Us remake kind of thing. You are remaking it. It is going to be the modern Assassin's Creed whatever, but it's the Black Flag story and all that stuff. I don't think it's going to be mission for mission.
You don't think it's going to be the same game. You think it's going to be
I think it reimagined. Will be. I think the cities will be bigger. I think they'll be more diverse. I don't think it'll... I guess this is a weird one. I think it'll have more modern controls. As a Black Flag fan, I am very excited about this. Yeah. As somebody who's I never even finished Black Flag. Black Flag was that one where it was I started it. It was... Do you remember? Did you play it?
No, but
the map was broken up by the ocean, right? And it was the first fourth or whatever was easy, medium. It kept getting harder as you went down. And my thing was I went island to island doing everything, getting every chest. And so I think I only barely made it through the second section, except that I played 40 hours of the game doing, you know what I mean? I'd be totally down for it's a beautiful you know, 4K, whatever, 60 frames when you don't do it 4K. Yeah. You know, PS5 game that's got all the bells and whistles.
It really was the precursor to, like, Odyssey.
100%.
Like, how Odyssey was also.
And so I think taking, if you were to come in and you were remaking it and keeping the backbone of what it was, and which is the exploration, the islands, but we're doing more of what worked in Odyssey and in Origins, right? I think that could be really
But then
fun.
Also, okay, that makes sense. Maybe keep around the gameplay that they might have spruced up for Mirage, which will hopefully be like a more modern kind of takeaway of the classic Assassin's Creed, like moment-to-moment gameplay. Yeah, I think you do have something special there. I think it's one of the best stories in the series, and it's really just...
See, I think that would be
and
the more...
also just sea shanties, man.
Yes.
I think that would be the more interesting way to do it, would be, hey, we're reimagining slash rebooting, like, a lot of the idea and concepts of Black Flag, but making another original game that is, hey, here's Black Flag, but it's Black Flag contextualized through what we did with Odyssey and Origins and Valhalla, as opposed to, like, you know, if they're gonna do like a one for one remake, it's like, just remaster it then, right? Like, just give people a PS5 version, because people do love Black Flag. I know that's a fan favorite. But yeah, if you're gonna put out something that is just called Assassin's Creed Black Flag in the way that God of War 2018 is God of War, and it is, hey, it's what you love about Black Flag. We're bringing back ship combat. We're bringing back all these things, but we're making it an Origins-like game. I think that could be exciting for the audience.
Well, sadly, we'll have to wait and see a few years to see what Ubisoft's up. But I'm just saying, don't have to play the song. Maybe it's a good time to buy some stock. They got some good things up their sleeve. I'll stay quiet. I can't wait to see what Ubisoft does next, bless. Mm-hmm. But that's so far away. Mm-hmm. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom-and-grop shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. And also, I put up a poll on Twitter asking what wins RPG of the year. Surprisingly, the percentages are more equal than I would have thought. But Starfield is winning currently with 37.5%
Great
of the vote.
Great year for video games. Yeah! Out today, Crime O'Clock on Switch and PC. Everybody 1-2 Switch. At what time? Yeah, it's Crime O'Clock.
It's Crime O'Clock.
It's 15 past Crime O'Clock. Everybody 1-2 Switch on Switch. Ghost Trick Phantom Detective on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Goodbye World on all the PlayStations, all the Xboxes. Master Detective Archives Raincoat on Switch. Samba de Amigo Party Central on Switch. Front Mission First Remake on all the PlayStations, all the Xboxes, and a C. Maybe PC? Maybe it's just the new console, see. Inner Ashes, PS4, PC, and Switch. Ray's Arcade Chronology, Switch and PC. PS4. Switch and PS4. You're not buying that game. What do I care? Remote Life 2, Fearless, PC. New dates for you. Banshu Tactics launches August 10th on Steam. Deals of the day for you. It's Joey's half birthday, which means you can get 25% off everything in our Rooster Teeth store with the code Christmas in June. Remember, we have a new store at kindoffunny.com/store, but our old store, which is where this Christmas in June would work, is kindoffunny.com/old store. Go there and buy it all. And then the Steam Summer Sale is going on through July 13th. You have some great deals like 60% off Midnight Suns, 50% off No Man's Sky, and 50% off Dark Souls Remastered. Blessing.
Greg.
We ask people watching live to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up.
How many people are telling us about
the Well, the problem was I thought I had it open and nobody was correcting us, but then it turns out there's like 17 corrections here. But we had a goofy show.
A lot
show.
Of it was data.
Yeah, it's a lot stuff. Of goofy show here, right? So, why kebabs? I don't want you to correct the fucking Fallout Boy.
SpongeBob SquarePants Power Wash Simulator is out today.
We said that yesterday, though. That was not yesterday, remember?
Yeah, then ban yourself into the ether. Who said that? I'm going to... Timmy, buddy, ban yourself into the ether.
Ban yourself into Easter.
Into Easter.
Yeah, it's fine. We did it. Everything's fine. I don't care. Nobody cares. Let's talk about the fact that Kinda Funny Games Daily comes to you each and every weekday, which means it's the weekend, which means you're not getting any new episodes for 2 days. But we will be back next week. And when we return, it'll be me and Tim on Monday. Tuesday, we're not here. It's the 4th of July in America. We have the day off. Wednesday, we'll be back with Blessing and me. Thursday, it'll be me and Tim. And Friday, it will be Tim and me. Of course, if you're watching live, guess what? It is Tim Tam's birthday. That means there's a giant celebration going on all day long here. To bridge the gap, we're going to invite Snowbike Mike out here to the desk to answer your YouTube super chats. So go ahead and get those in right now if you want to talk to us. Well, I'm actually leaving. It's just Mike and you, I think, about what's going on. Then, hey, of course,
is Andy not coming through to us? Oh, no, it's just me and Mike.
Then we'll go out there and we'll do the big old birthday stream all day long. It'll be one of the long ones. So, of course, you should be watching nonstop on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're listening to this later, come on over. Of course, if we're live, we're live. But if we're not, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames has the stream on tap for you to get to whenever you want it. You can watch it. You can have fun. You can enjoy it. Remember, of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, head on over to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to be part of the show. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad-free, to get hundreds of exclusive episodes, to get us to watch the podcast a day early and all that other jazz. Of course, you could just support us there too because it means a lot to us. Go to the store. Go to the old store. Go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Subscribe. Watch everything on demand. Yada, 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 yada. Brian Altano is here to record a bunch of Let's Plays with me because, of course, you supported us on patreon.com/kindoffunny. So look for those soon. Until next time, though. We're going to invite Mike out here. He's going to do a little post show. It's been our pleasure to serve you.
Congrats on the sex.